Roll dice, be nice, and stay tuned. This is the Live to Die podcast.
So it's pretty cold out here today.
It's still cold.
Still pretty cold.
Let's check.
What's the
temperature? We're at a nice 2 p.m.
It is -1.
Oh, negative one. Nice. Single digits.
Single digits. It's been in the negatives for 3 weeks.
Yeah. We're hitting our peak temperature at 3 p.m., so an hour from now.
It'll be 1 degree?
It will be 0.
Oh, nice.
And then the sun goes down immediately at 3 p.m. and it gets colder.
Hey, 4:54.
Okay. Yay.
So what's the coldest you've ever been besides today,
Jane? Last night. Actually, I remember very distinctly one time feeling the coldest. And it's weird because it's not even a winter time, but it was in Chicago, right by Michigan September. Yep. But they just had a cold front and the wind. And I was like, I've never been more miserable. It was horrible.
Yeah.
When I used to go to school, I had long hair in high school, and I would take a shower in the morning, and when I walked out to the car, my hair would freeze between the front door and my car.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what state were you in for high school?
Indiana.
Oh. Does it get really
very
cold
similar
there?
To Illinois?
Up north, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, Fort Wayne is the very tippy top, so we get the same lake effect that Chicago does.
Oh, shit, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's brutal. It's horrible. And I was like, it's not even winter yet. I wasn't wearing a coat. It was awful.
Chicago's brutal sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I actually think mine would have been Chicago as well.
Hmm.
That was October, November. What?
Nothing.
What, do you think I'm making that shit up? I went to Chicago for a college newspaper editors conference, and we got wine drunk and didn't go to any of the actual conference stuff the next day.
That's hilarious.
Classic.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, man, I don't know. I haven't really ventured out too far. Yeah. I mean, I lived in Alaska. Does that count? It gets pretty cold there.
You lived in Alaska?
Wait, what? Yeah, you lived in Alaska?
Mm-hmm. When I was kid, a real young kid.
Jared is such a man of mystery. It's not even funny.
Yeah, for 4 years. My dad was stationed
there. 4 years?
Oh, right.
Elmendorf Air Force Base. It got cold. I remember one time jumping off of it was a detached garage, and the snow was piled so high, we would just climb this pile of snow and get onto the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was climbing up and my foot fell through the middle of the pile of the snow and I couldn't get out. My foot was stuck and my boot came off. My brothers had to pull me off.
You're like, this is how it happens.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I don't really remember any specifically super cold. I remember going camping once and not preparing well and being really cold, but nothing crazy. Or we would do the dumb thing that high school boys would do, and on cold days you put your hand out the window onto the roof of the car and see how long you could do it. But that's it. Nothing exciting around here.
That's funny.
I think the technical answer for me, I think, is probably when I was a really little kid, because my dad was stationed at an Air Force base in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Okay.
And I know that it gets wild cold up there. But I was so young that one of the only memories I have from that young, I also don't have a lot of memories from when I was very young, was them taking me to when I could barely walk to try to learn how to ice skate. So I kind of remember that. But the time I can remember being viscerally cold, I got hypothermia a couple times. I used to be a lifeguard. I'd worked a handful of jobs throughout my teenage years and college years. And a lot of it, I was a swim instructor and I was a lifeguard, and I'd work at summer camps. And I worked at this Boy Scouts of America summer camp in Germany. It was a weird thing. And for the swimming area, we ended up using this pool in town that we had an agreement with. And it was a spring fed pool, not a hot spring fed pool.
Right.
So the water was just perpetually 55 degrees all the time. And it's Germany. So there's never a sky in the fucking cloud. And on the warm days, maybe it's 60 degrees out.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was one day where the water was high 50s or low 60s. And then the air was also in the 50s. And then wind started up. And we were getting ready for the next week of like campers to come in, and we were doing, oh no, I was helping teach the lifeguard class to some of the campers that week. And we were practicing backboarding, which also is a horrible thing when you're like kids are learning to backboard and you're strapped in and they like drop you and you flip over. You're like, well, they actually did a good job on the strap, so I can't move, but yeah. I'm now face down in the water. So I'm just on this backboard strapped in and the wind kicks in, and like while someone's instructing, so I'm just soaking wet in cold on top of cold water with wind blowing over me. And there was like two of us that were strapped in to like have them practice on people. And we were there for like 10 to 15 minutes. We both got hypothermia. So there was like two or three of us that just went into the showers and like knelt, like just curled up in balls under the hot shower, just sat there for the rest of the afternoon trying to, and it happened twice that summer. We got like several of us got hypothermia multiple times that summer.
That's crazy.
When it gets into your bones like that too, there's just nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just sit and we sat in the hot shower. I had a really good boss that summer. And so like he when he found out, I was like, hey, this should not be happening for one. And like, if it's this cold, we need to look, see if we can do some more classroom instruction on those days. But we just like heated up in the shower and we didn't realize he'd done it, but he went out and like bought a pizza and brought it back. And he's like, just here's a bunch of towels and blankets. Just eat this pizza in the like steamy, warm shower room. I don't care that there's food in there. Just eat and warm up. And it was genuinely really kind.
Nice.
I just want to note something about Germany that you said about how like hot is 60 degrees.
Yeah.
I tried to take German for a short period of time. And okay. I remember the instructor complained that like, the air conditioning was on, but that was the summer. It was like 115 degrees in Oklahoma with like 40-50% humidity.
Oh.
And like, how do you explain to somebody that like, well, if you go outside and you start sweating immediately, we need to have air conditioning.
Yeah.
You crazy person.
Yeah, that's wild.
Jason, you brought this up. I'm wondering, do you have a good story?
Oh yeah.
How cold have you been?
Very recently, Jessica and I went camping with our brand new like fucking queen size bed sleeping bag we got.
Ooh, those are nice.
And when you sleep in a sleeping bag, generally you don't have as much clothes on when you get in there, that way you stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case for these gigantic ones. Oh. There's so much extra space in there.
Okay.
That we almost froze to death that night. And the kids were sleeping in the car and we were in the tent. But I remember thinking, like, this is one of the coldest moments of my life.
Oh, God.
But the other time, yes, I have been in the Arctic Circle and gotten a big dose of that water splashed over my entire body.
You swam there.
Oh, fuck.
Didn't swim there. I was in a watercraft. I was on top of it, and some water splashed over the top and drenched my clothes.
Oh,
and
God.
I went and sat in the hot shower for a while. I'm like, don't fucking talk to me.
Yep.
Yeah. Being cold sucks.
Being cold
a lot.
Sucks.
But yeah. I do use those moments now to like tough through it. Like, mm-hmm. You've been colder than this. You stood watching Connecticut outside. You can fucking handle this.
We were talking about this, how last year around this time we had a similar cold temp, although this one will be worse than last year's.
This is pretty bad.
Because like where it is today was how bad it was the worst part of last year. But the non-wind factor temp on like Monday, Tuesday is supposed to get down to like negative 25.
Negative 30, yep.
Is it down to negative 30 now?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep, we got you, Ryan. Ha ha.
Yeah, right.
So
we were just talking about Ryan the other day because we were like, we just convinced this fool to move from Hawaii. And
he
like,
was in the Navy in Connecticut too. He's fine.
But there definitely is a thing. Once again, same housekeeping as the last two episodes. If you hear a small hum in the background, it's because the heat is on in this house because we're not turning it off to record when it's negative one outside.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The ice on the window inside has started to melt though.
That's nice. That's
there still
good.
Is plenty of ice on the window, but there is less ice on the window. Yeah. So just that little bit of caveat there. Well, that sounds like quite a situation to put yourself in, Jason.
And I didn't put myself there.
Jason wasn't like, you know where I would like to go vacation? Hey. The Arctic Circle.
Arctic Circle. Oh.
There was a series of executive decisions made. Yes. That
eventually culminated in Jason getting water on him.
Yes.
That's quite a situation to find yourself in.
Yeah. And then to think, why did I do this?
Yeah. I wonder if Arthur is thinking something similar right now.
A series of my decisions put me in this place and now I regret them.
Yeah, you can't blame anyone else for that decision.
Nope.
Actually, you can blame Ari right now for chasing the dog.
That's a good
you
idea.
No, let's blame Ari.
No.
I
look at what a good boy he is.
Who's a good boy?
If he lives.
Sadist boy.
I believe we left our last cliffhanger where all of you had followed a dog to find a wounded man. You kind of brought the man to, and his first thing was like, who are all of you? And right as you're starting to introduce yourself, Arthur was like, what is that that I hear in the brush? And he's like, oh shit, that's there. We're going to have to fight a troll. Prepare yourselves. And you're fighting a troll. He told you to like make sure you stay in the move. Don't let the troll catch up to you and kind of get claws on you. He'll try to tear you apart.
I would say that.
And Arthur didn't listen.
Arthur is not trying to fight a troll. There's not a whole lot of fighting going on Arthur's part.
It's fair.
He's just trying to survive a troll.
Trying to not die.
Yeah.
Much like Jason with the Arctic Circle, he's just trying to survive.
Just hold your breath.
Yep.
All right. So I believe we ended on the cliffhanger of a.
There's a room for that.
Which is Rend, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Rend Town. Population Trent.
Let's talk about it. And let's share this for people who are still playing around with the idea of Pathfinder or still kind of finding their footing. Rend is one of those interesting things where it's. In first edition Pathfinder, I think they would have called it a universal monster special rule or something like that, a universal monster rule. So it's those things where it's listed on the creature as Rend, one action, claw, and then nothing else is there. So you got to go to the back of the monster manual or just click on Rend if you're in Archives of Nethys. Check out Archives of Nethys. They're amazing. It's
fantastic.
Legally, all of the rules for free for Pathfinder on a wiki. They're still, as of time recording, working on adding in the remasters. It's just so much work. Mm-hmm. They have a Patreon to support them. We throw a couple bucks at it every month because they do so much for us and they're just really, really great. But Rend says a Rend entry lists a strike the monster has. This one lists claws. Requirement: the monster has hit the same enemy with two consecutive strikes of the listed type in the same round. Effect: the monster automatically deals that strike's damage again to the enemy. So basically, normally the third attack, huge multiple attack penalty, no way I'm going to hit. If you manage to hit the first two with that on the Rend, takes the same action, but hits for free.
Mm-hmm. It's essentially gross. Like they're raking their claws that they hit you with, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of rake, or in some cases it is like grab, tear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not awesome. So that's the claw attack. Trent, you got a ton of hit points left on Arthur, right?
I have a number of hit points left on Arthur, yes.
A non-zero number. Well, I didn't roll as well as I've been rolling. 13 points of damage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down.
But
I had 4 left.
The benefit to the Rend is that there's no roll, so you cannot be crit by a Rend. Right. So you're just dying one.
Yep.
And remember, Trent, it was
I'm also enfeebled 3.
Oh, yeah, fun stuff.
Yikes.
Until heal.
Well, yes. It is the end of the troll's turn. Let's see if that persistent damage goes away. He does. He takes the damage and then recovers from persistent damage.
What an asshole.
But he takes 1 point of fire, which triggers the weakness, so it takes 11 points of fire.
Hooray.
And is no longer burned or persistent. All right, Nikolai, it's your turn. You see Arthur just like go down underneath the claws of this giant troll.
Wait a minute. From what you just said,
sure.
He took fire damage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he immediately burned again?
He's burned for this turn, but the persistent is off, so he will not be like...
Sorry, you said he's no longer burned.
Sorry, you're right. Yeah, you're right, because he took
like,
it at the...
Hey.
Yes, till the end of his next turn, I believe.
So did he regenerate or no?
No, regeneration happens at the beginning of the turn. He was on fire from the alchemist fire.
Got it.
He regenerated, and at the end of the turn, he took persistent fire damage again.
I see.
Yeah, Alchemist Fire is great against trolls.
But then his check applies, so he won't take persistent fire damage the
next
turn.
Right,
but he will not regenerate at the beginning of his next turn.
Right.
Yeah, because he has taken burn before. That's how I am ruling it right now.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, what's the deal?
Nikolai uses 2 action heal to give you...
Oh,
I just forgot what it was.
Arthur.
17 points.
Hey.
Not your name. Yeah. I forgot the number. 17 points of healing.
I feel like that's like, it's terrible memory, sort of like a terrible math thing.
Yeah.
Terrible memory. I can't fucking remember anything.
That's
a terrible memory.
Sure.
So I'm wounded 1, right?
Can relate.
Yes. All right. Nikolai, got 1 action left.
We'll cast Guidance.
Ooh, who are you going to cast it on?
Arthur.
Oh. Does my enfeebled condition go away after being healed?
No.
I think it did.
In the rules, it said once healed, I thought.
Yeah,
no,
I think
but
so.
It does go down by 1 at the end of each of your turns.
I need like the restoration or whatever to get rid of it.
I think it was on the card, but that's...
It doesn't have an automatic thing, so yes, it must be until healed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it goes away?
I'm going to say yes.
Sick.
All right, Ari.
Oh, really?
You threw a torch. You're on top of a rock.
Yeah.
You throw it at Arthur.
You could light another torch and throw it.
I am going to do that.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Because I don't know that there's really anything else valuable I can do.
I mean, you can stab it.
I'm not going to stab it.
Jump on its back.
Yeah. I'm going to shove a wand up its nose.
All right. Proven so you troll. Take an action to pull. You pull out a...
Only in the bathroom.
Pull, light, throw.
Okay. All right. Ranged touch. Ranged
patch.
Attack.
Ooh.
Just that patch. Yeah, the use of that was just like, yeah.
Landed perfectly.
Yeah. Ooh. Worthy patch.
That is very worthy.
What'd
patch.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a natural 19.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So that is, sorry, you explained this to me last time.
It provides weapons. So basically use one of your ranged attack profiles that doesn't have a magical
two.
Plus one, minus two. Yeah.
Okay, 25 to hit.
Boom, hits. Does 1 point of fire damage, which becomes 10 more, so 11 points of damage.
Heck yeah.
Total. Heck yeah.
Hit bam.
You just light, throw, and just chuck a torch right into its eye.
Okay.
Fuck you. Lucky.
It's good
this
damage.
Thing's not looking good.
Spike's gonna attack.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's a 24.
Okay. 24 is a hit, not a crit. Still flanking with dog.
Does a little spine attack.
Sure. Classic spine attack.
I believe you're talking about max damage.
Yes, his name is max damage.
Sorry, how much was that?
Eight
damage. Okay, not looking good.
Do we kill the ranger and take his dog?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or maybe the ranger will just come with you with his dog.
The dog is too loyal.
Dog can
We're going to have to get rid of him.
I'm going to do the recall knowledge.
Okay.
For mastermind.
All right, what's your bonus?
9.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything new I can really learn. But
here's what. He's one hit.
Oh.
You think one hit of reasonable damage from your party will take it out.
Dope.
I rolled a 16 plus 5, 21.
That's a hit.
Get him.
Hey now.
Don't roll a 0.
Well, I rolled minimum damage.
How much is that with sneak attack?
2.
Okay, he's still alive.
He's like,
I rolled 2 ones. And that is it.
All right, it is the ranger's turn. The troll's looking bad.
Nope, I'm dead.
You're just you're dying. And we don't even know how bad it is because of your own house rule, Trent.
I am. Oh,
yeah,
he got rimmed. Not anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right, you're fine.
I was like, well, did I miss something?
Unless he fucking misses.
You did miss something, but we did edit in a break there for us to go eat real quick. And like the food is hitting. And I was like, oh, I do have notes about where we are, which is nice.
What
but,
game is this?
The game of life.
What game is it?
It's the Frozen game.
Hockey.
I am so cold.
I'm just looking outside.
You have a blanket.
I need another one.
Okay. I know they're kind of ugly blankets, but the blankets and the couch are
those
so
blankets
warm.
Are...
Jane, this is your house. Get as much as you want.
There are so many blankets in this house. Put a hoodie on.
Go to bed, Jane.
Okay.
All right. So
if you insist.
The ranger is going to chuck. That'll be a hit, and that kills the troll.
Oh, so he
chucks alchemist fire at it.
And he's on fire?
Yeah, it kills it with alchemist's fire.
We had to wait till after lunch to kill the troll.
Yeah.
So look, it was so cold out.
We were really hungry, bro.
Yeah.
All
right.
We did have the discussion of like, should we just finish the fight? We're like, it's so cold. The food's going to get cold inside the house.
Facts.
Yeah.
The cold is coming from inside the house.
Shout out to DP Zone who supplied us our
lunch. Dose.
That's what I said, right?
You said DP Zone.
Either
yeah,
way.
You said DP.
DP Dough.
Like, seriously.
I got the bro zone.
If you're in Colorado, they're like all over, like the front range of Colorado, and it's a really great $10 greasy calzone. It's staggeringly good.
I wish I'd have gotten yours, though, in hindsight.
The
that
mac
and
cheese
and bacon one.
Oh, it's so good. You can put pepperoni in there, too.
Mm.
Oh. All right. Well, let's, kind of resolve this now.
Oh, no, it's lovely out here.
Is the troll edible?
I feel like troll meat would be the gamiest thing ever.
Did his blue bracers burn up?
No, they're still on him.
We're going to take him off his burning corpse. And I'm going to do read aura.
Okay. So you step over there, and the ranger, the dog kind of pads over to the ranger, and he looks down at the dog, and he looks down at it and just says... Well done, dog.
You name it dog.
What's your dog's name?
I call him Dog.
I'm bleeding.
Oh, yeah, right.
Me too, weirdly.
That's right.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm trying to see if these are magic. Don't you have lay on hands?
Oh, yeah.
They are non-magical. He does walk over, and the ranger's like, I were interrupted before I got the chance to hear your response. Introduce yourselves, please. Who are you?
Someone's a little touchy.
Actually, we're just going to go ahead and leave.
Yeah, bye.
We're taking your dog.
Oh, that's such a sad idea.
All right, for healing you, we're taking your dog. See ya.
It was my one chance to grieve on alone.
Yeah, no, I'm like, can I have your dog?
My name is Arthur.
I am Nikolai.
Lucky.
I'm Ari.
Ari.
We're the rulers of this area now.
Yes.
We are.
We have a charter.
Nikolai just gets wide eyes and just doesn't say anything.
Well, I guess they are. I'm leaving soon.
What are you doing?
Excellent. Well, they...
Hold on, the ranger.
Sorry, what? I don't think that you would have said that. Like, all right, that.
Oh, I had told myself that a lot, and so I'd kind of forgotten that I hadn't said that out loud yet.
Why would you leave?
Back at the ranger, and like he's with us.
Yeah, he's not leaving.
Well, I appreciate that you assisted me in killing the troll.
What
are you doing out here?
Or what's your name?
Sort of stops, looks down.
My shield's broken.
I am a Kundayo. E-K-U-N-D-A-Y-O.
Okay. It's a pleasure to meet you. Are you from around here?
No, I had been tracking this troll trying to find his gang, but, well, this is all I had.
You're the gang.
That doesn't sound good.
No, he's one of Gagglebeard's lot.
Gagglebeard?
Yeah, write that down. Who's got society? Who's got a high society check?
I got a 9.
Never heard of him.
High society.
He's a dangerous hill giant. Wears hide armor made from a wavern. His reavers, mostly ogres who admire or fear him, they all wear bits and pieces of wyvern armor. He sort of indicates over at the bracers.
Well, Gagglebeard, huh?
Well, Gagglebeard. Yes, his reavers have been moving through the wilds of the River Kingdoms for years, targeting small, isolated settlements for destruction. They leave none alive, so there's no threat of reprisal. You see him like just kind of look down for a minute, his shoulders tense up a little. They missed me, though, when they destroyed Bristlehill, and I intend to make them pay for that mistakes and for all the lives they've taken.
What is Bristlehill?
Where is Bristlehill?
You said a +9 in your society?
Mm-hmm.
You've kind of heard of it, maybe, one of the many sort of small settlements that rise and fall in the River Kingdoms, broadly. The southern edge of the Stolen Lands, northern edge of the River Kingdoms.
Okay.
Not a large settlement by any means.
Well, gotcha. You did kind of get fucked up by one, so I'm not sure I would face all of them alone. Maybe if you kind of joined up with these folks here, they could help you deal with that threat at some point.
So, Nikolai's just staring at Arthur again.
Trent, you're actually a little familiar with this because we just used a similar mechanic in our Age of Ashes game the other week. We're, just like you can with any NPC from the companion guide, you want to give me this will be a secret check. What's your perception bonus for you to kind of get a feel for what skills you might be able to make an impression with on
plus
him?
+6.
All right. Let's go with the nacho die. Yeah, no idea. Not at all. Could be anything. You know, a boat's a boat, Lois, but a mystery box could be anything. Could even be a boat.
Well, based on what I said, can I use survival?
Sure, you can certainly try. Make a survival check to try to make, sort of make an impression.
Literally survival. Ooh, hey, that's a 22.
Well, damn. Yeah, he does kind of listen and hear you out a little bit. He sort of nods. You're not wrong. They have strength in numbers. I suppose I should too. Is there a place of safety around here. I'm more than willing to pay or work for a place to stay. Dog and well, I don't take up much space.
We're just headed back, actually, to a place we've been kind of posting up while we figure out what's going on here.
Okay.
You can come with us.
If that's... Thank you. Thank you.
Mostly because we like your dog.
Yeah, your dog is so cool, and you should give it a better name. Maybe Max Damage.
It also helps you killed the troll.
Does anyone else want to try to make a make an impression?
Yes, I will.
Do you want to try to discover what check that could be with first?
Yes.
Now, remember, you can always, and this is where it's a little bit of a funny kind of guessing game, you can always use perception to attempt to learn more about them as a discovery check. You could hypothetically, you could try something else, but yeah, what's your perception bonus?
10.
Okay. Yeah, you feel like for him, survival is going to be a great way to sort of make an impression with him, as would like giant lore potentially.
Okay.
You also feel like promises to support him in aiding or slaying giants would really kind of endear him to you a little bit.
I'll do, yeah, so a little bit of RP. I'll be like, we have been chartered to rid these lands of bandits, but we have come across a lot of monsters, and you seem pretty handy, and perhaps we could join together. You travel with us. The payment being you watch our back, we will watch yours.
Roll a survival check for me. See what you can do.
Like this sweet coyote cloak I have?
He is eyeing it, like, and kind of look, sizing you up. Are you,
17.
A holy man of Arastle, then.
I am a cleric of Arastle, yes. My name is Nikolai Medved. I am come from the Medveds in Provoy.
Sounds familiar. Yes, I will travel with you. That's fine, dog, and I can accompany you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. It is great to meet you.
How's the dog now? Is the dog nice?
Yeah, the dog's like in a pretty good mood. And I'll
kind
of like
name him for you. Name him Max.
And I'm going to kind of use that as an opportunity to fade away a little bit. you crossed over it. You helping. So he actually starts off as unfriendly. He's a very like somber and angry person. You helping him defeat the troll starts you off, it moves you to indifferent. And then the two of you together did move him over to friendly.
Hell yeah.
Nice. And so as you're traveling that day, you're traveling towards the crossing in the river, right?
Mm-hmm.
He will share
with like,
you.
And we're like, hey, buddy, sorry, we have to drop a body in a river.
Don't look in the wagon.
Yeah.
We have two corpses in there.
There's well, a corpse and a head. In a burlap sack, which we don't really show the burlap. Just ignore that. Don't open that sack.
The blood soaked burlap sack bag.
Don't look in the wagon.
As you're walking, though, and you kind of bring up the dog, and he'll essentially tell you, once you name something, the loss you feel when it's inevitably slain makes it not worth naming in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. Dog. That's why I call my horse horse.
He's called Max.
Dog.
That's why I haven't learned any of their names. So
the dog's a tool, not a friend.
And Ari's like whispering, like, you're my friend.
This makes sense.
But I will say, you do pick up on this. Ari, what's your perception bonus?
7.
Okay. The two, Ari and Nikolai, you do pick up on in the background that, like, while he's saying that, he doesn't actually believe that. You can see that he's, like, sort of afraid of losing the dog.
Mm.
And he seems like he's carrying around, like, a lot of fear. And the idea of, like, maybe losing one thing more he cared about would break him.
Oh, sad.
But it's small things. Like, you notice him, like, feeding small scraps to it and the occasional scratch behind the ears. He clearly cares for it, but you can see that he's nervous or scared to care for the dog.
Always gives him the last bite of his food.
What's the Will Smith zombie movie?
I Am Legend.
Oh, yeah.
Omega Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the dog is like, maybe I can fix him.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually he was like, well, what, as you're kind of going throughout the day, do you feel like he should have a name?
Yeah, I think he should. I think he earned the name by protecting all of us from that bad troll.
I believe it could be a an honor for him of sorts.
Plus, I mean, I think that loss is just a part of life, and we should just accept that and not take it out on the dog.
What if we called him Butt Biter?
BB.
That is an option.
Or I have another one, but I can't do it. Thank you.
So yeah, he actually does let he lets you name the dog.
Ooh.
So you can think on that. As you go on for another hour or two, it's into the afternoon.
The dog's name is now Pog.
Pog.
Pog the dog.
Poggers.
You get to the crossing of the river. Say it's a little higher than last time, but it's still only about 3.5 feet deep. So not hard to cross. You also have an extra horse if you want to give it to the ranger.
Sure.
Otherwise, he's beaten up a little bit.
The dog can ride in the freaking
wagon.
Oh, I rolled some healing for you when we were over here fucking around.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. You patch everyone up. You can take the time and patch up the ranger too. You're crossing the river. Do you want to do, you're going all the way back up to Nettles Crossing though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll do a little bit of hand waving. It takes another day. You have to camp between here and Nettles Crossing because you only had half a day of travel. You set up camp with the ranger and he's pretty good at it.
What kind of skills does he have?
We do have a little bit of adventuring. Let's see. Because these have camping with. Adventuring
and
with.
What recipes does he
know? Well, here's what I'll say. Because you did get him all the way to friendly. So camping with him, wilderness survival. He will attempt to bolster efforts to cook campfire meals or treat illness by gathering herbs from the environments. So cooking a meal or treating disease gain a bonus.
Hmm.
Additionally, as you kind of spend time talking with him, because you are now kind of at friendly with him and because you've talked about helping him hunt, as he at higher levels, he will be able to teach you eventually the giant hunter feat, the harder they haul, which requires Titan Wrestler, which is something you might at some point really into, Jane, hamstring strike and eventually roll with it. Allowing you to turn crits from giants into like normal hits as reactions and stuff.
Oh, nice. Did we find anything else about his bracers?
No, they're made out of wavern armor.
And they can't be resized for us either, right?
I mean, like not magically, but you could take the material and cut it down and make, I mean, wavern leather is cool leather. It's a bright blue.
We need to sell it.
There was that bag of stuff he dropped though, which I assume you picked up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
His sack.
Yes. So This troll, which Lucky would know, was named Kargid.
Kargid.
And so kind of looking through, there's quite a bit of miscellaneous bits of broken armor and worthless junk, but there is a few things that are valuable. There's 30 silver and 12 gold.
Nice.
A cold iron kukri.
Cool.
A hunter's bane talisman and a +1 light hammer.
Cold iron kukri would have been cool about an encounter ago.
Yeah.
True.
But you should keep that around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can always even move over your if you have downtime, which is going to be a lot of, you can move your +1 rune over onto the cold iron kukri.
Right.
It's extra damage to demons?
Fae. Usually. Fae. Yeah. So.
What were the last two things? Sorry.
+1 light hammer and a hunter's bane talisman.
Can you imagine if I would have had that when we fought the Mitflits? Would have killed so many Mitflits.
I don't know if they were weak to cold iron specifically. They weren't,
super Fae?
They weren't super Fae-y though.
Well,
like they're.
Never mind. Bomb.
Yeah.
My father was Fae.
You rest for the night, make some food, talk with the ranger. You make your way to Nettles Crossing. You get there the next day, early morning, 9 or 10 a.m. Still a little bit of like mist and sun.
Hunter's Bane is cool.
Hunter's Bane charm, talisman? Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's still a little bit of like mist from the river rolling over the burned husks of the ferry crossing and his home. What do you want to do?
I'll start to kind of explain to, what's his name again?
Ekundeo.
Ekundeo?
Mm-hmm.
I'll start to explain to him, like, there was a bandit here, the Stag Lord, and there was some kind of curse, and we have to bring the Stag Lord's body back into this river to release the undead monster that comes out.
And he's like, huh.
I know, right? Galarian.
Okay.
He's
like, yeah, thanks for the camp. I'm going to...
Yeah, I'm grabbing one side of the body.
Kay. Yeah, Ari will help you.
Oh, nice.
Ari's like wanting to finish this.
One, two,
a three.
And it splashes on top of the river. You get it hits and kind of buoys up a little bit. Oh. It's a day and a half old body.
Yeah. Stinky.
I thought you were just saying that it was like a hard surface somewhere. Like,
it's all
throw it in the shallow part.
Like, oh god!
And you see it start to drift down river.
It's all bloated.
Just floating down until it looks like it catches on something. And then you see like this twig that it looks like it caught on move and twitch as you see the figure of Davik like rise up out of the water, looming above it like from the torso up, and just grab the body of the Stag Lord by the neck, staring into his eyes, and just push himself and the body back down into the river, almost not even acknowledging you.
Leth, what's him?
Like, are we good?
I want to wait there for a little bit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, in case he wants to give us gold.
I mean, I want to wait because I want to, like, make sure that that thing has found rest, essentially.
Yeah. Nothing really changes. How long are you willing to wait for?
10-20 minutes.
Okay. Same lucky for you?
Yeah, sure.
You sit there, you're kind of resting. It's peaceful in a way. Right as you're getting up to leave, you hear like a rattle. And you look down. You don't know how you missed it. You see that some floating up to the edge of the river looks like a wooden pole with some metal attached to it.
Oh.
If you pick it up, what you find is a Rancior.
Oh, nice.
Carved with magical runes. And the same one that I think you probably saw Davik holding in the art here. Mm. You talked about it before.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
And you do recognize it, and it has sort of carved into it Davik's crossing, or Nettle's crossing.
Badass.
Amazing.
I mean, it says Nettle's thorn.
Tis Nettle's thorn.
Just washes up on the shores of the river.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, Arthur's going to like lean down, pick it up and inspect it and be like, a solid weapon.
Jesus.
Ari looks at Ekundeo and is like, they do this a lot.
It seems a touch childish, but I suppose
how do you know? No one.
In fact, he's going to start practicing almost like holding his shield up, his broken shield up, and like...
We're sitting here, I'll make that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Rancior is like a pole arm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm pulling it up here. It's a favorite weapon of Belial. And the Stag Mother of the Forest of Stones.
Yes.
Whoa.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is either.
Apparently.
is this a... You said it's a plus one?
Plus one, yep. It's a reach. It has reach and disarm.
Hell yeah.
It is a two-handed weapon, though.
You can get a Rancior in Rise of the Rune Lords early on.
Oh, yeah, because that's a whole thing for the Rune Lords, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How is that spelled?
Rancur.
Rancur.
What's the magic?
Plus one.
The 10 minutes that we're sitting here, I cast Mend and... Repair your shield.
Sick.
Or picks restore. Let's see.
Any other stops you want to make on the way back to Oleg's trading post?
Not me.
Otherwise,
is the alchemist on the way?
It is on the way if you want to stop by the alchemist.
We have to meet the alchemist.
Ari and Lucky are like, my God, we'll wait in the wagon.
He's not worth meeting. But hello.
You can hit him up later if you want to.
I just wanted them to have to deal with it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's anything.
The party again. So.
Like, maybe some hunting for fun on the way back to ease my nerves, but no.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you make it back. You get to Oleg's trading post. And... you're welcomed back. Oleg's there. Svetlana's there. I'm drawing a blank on his name now. The
guy that
the not knight.
Yeah, the professional soldier. I think Garrus is his name. Keston Garrus. He's there. There's another guest you haven't met before. An older man with like a goatee, kind of balding pate. Simple like. Older, kind of worn travelers, like woolen robes.
You walk up to Oleg and give him like the fucking forearm shake, like, yeah. Hello, friend. How are you?
It's good to see you. It's been gone a while. Did you fare well?
We had lots to do and have been.
It was horrible. Fortunate. It was so horrible.
I mean, yeah, she's blowing it out of proportion, but.
We almost died so many times.
The old man true. In a basement.
I'm so hungry. Do you have any food?
The Stag Lord is gone, as you can see from this cool helmet, and I hold it up.
He's like, oh, it's a bit grim, but yeah. I think it suits you.
Oh, there's worse.
Yeah.
Seeing the helmet that
don't
you see,
look
this,
in the way.
This other man, this sort of like balding man, sort of come up to you. Are you a cleric? Because remember, it's like a very small, there's like mm-hmm. just like a few picnic tables or the fire. I don't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. I do not mean to interrupt, but are you a cleric of Arastel?
Yes.
My name is Yod Kavka. I think my dreams have been telling me to find you.
Oh?
Come, friend, sit down. Let's talk. And I go over to a table.
I've come here to the north, fleeing the turmoil and disruption down in Galt. And I've been having visions. I keep dreaming of a lost temple, of a Arastel. I am to atone.
Nikolai sits back in his chair, and like you can tell that this something that he said just clicked. What did this place look like?
It is, I think, south of here in the forests of the Narnmarches. I think I have been called to reconsecrate it. Visions. There of a temple, and I see some large creature like a bear of some sort guarding it. And something is wrong with it. Something is unnatural about it.
I show him the picture that I drew.
And like he's shocked. He almost fumbles his mug.
Is this what you mean?
That is it exactly.
It has also come into my dreams.
Are you two seeking redemption?
I am more being pushed towards a goal that I am unsure of, but I feel much better about it now that you are here, and I know that, well, I'm not going a little crazy, you know?
Ugh.
Who are you?
I said I am...
I forgot.
Yad.
Yad. But is he a cleric or anything, or is he...
I was. I'll kind of exposition this. Okay. He kind of goes on to explain that he's from Galt, right. Obviously.
I heard it's a piece of shit there.
It has been rough. The gardeners are not what they once were.
He's a druid, basically.
Okay.
Oh, and okay. He'll go on to tell you that you know, he has heard a little bit about your charter, but he really opens up. And the fact that I think he probably would have been much more closed about this, but him seeing in your drawing the exact dream he's been having, he sort of feels like he has to be honest with you.
And he said a bear is guarding it?
Yes, some sort of unnatural bear. So he kind of reveals he's been excommunicated from the priesthood. He helped form a mob against a traveler in his home village who he thought was a werewolf responsible for several recent deaths in the area. Only a few hours after they killed the man, the true murderer was caught. An investigation by the Church of Arastel followed, and they found that his involvement in the village's overly aggressive pursuit was uncalled for and should not have been actionable. However, they did discover that the person that the whole town had mobbed and killed was a bandit spy scouting the town for pillaging and burning. So they decided to not kill him, but to excommunicate him. And he sort of explained to you that like he's been trying to find a way to make amends, and he's been getting these visions from Arastel of this temple. And he hopes that finding it and sort of basically taking up a hermitage alone could be a way for him to sort of reconnect with his god and seek forgiveness.
Nikolai kind of looks over at Arthur and looks back at this guy and says, are you... sorry for what you did.
Arthur like pulls out his executioner's
sword. Starts unsheathing the bastard sword.
Gets a whetstone out.
I should not have. And he kind of goes with it, like, he didn't kill someone. He was just like, people in town were nervous and there was this new person who was acting weird. And to be fair, like, his instincts weren't wrong. The person was acting weird, but he should have like taken more time. Yeah. He shouldn't have been so quick to jump to it. And he talks about that, like, you know, it's foolish. I was a fool, and you know what they say of fools. I'm attempting to repent for that.
That is fair. We don't suffer them, but the fact that you are here trying to make amends means that you are much wiser than just a simple fool.
Well, I thank you for the chance to, I thank you for the chance to talk to you about it. I have been searching wherever I could. I have some maps of the area, but nothing specific. A kinswoman of mine on the way north shared with me the few maps she had of this region, but despite her phenomenal talent as a cartographer, she only had so much to offer me on this.
Tell us about this map maker. Is she still around?
Halfling woman in fleeing Galt at the time, selling things at a wonderful price.
Those goddamn horns.
Do I always
tell me to
horns.
Listen to the hounds. The hounds of freedom.
I loved how when she was like, when do I come back? And Jason's like, when the horns of freedom sound. Watson's in the background going, probably like 3 years.
So you do have a new quest, Vision of the Elk.
Ooh.
To help him find and reconsecrate this.
Badass.
All right. You also find, I'm going to do a little bit of hand waving because I want to move some things along. You also are able to catch up with Keston Garrus. You're able to turn in the Find Falgrim quest. He's like,
oh, all right. Suppose you didn't have a chance to take him.
Things got a little hairy.
Well, I appreciate you brought him to justice one way or another. I suppose it's, well, those who would wish to take out their ire on him will enjoy this knowledge less than being able to carry it out themselves, but I still have a few friends who said they'd want to chip in if anyone's able to take care of it. Is there a blade or bow that any of you favor?
Oh.
He kind of always wanted to explain that, like, basically, like, he was one of several mercenaries who were all sort of like, we can't suffer this sort of thing to happen. People need to know that, like, doing this is bad, and so there's sort of like a bit of like a collection sort of taken up, and basically he can get you a plus one weapon of your choice. And it'll just take a week or two to get here. So think on that and get back to me, but a plus one weapon of your choice. You also turn in, you have now finally completed the Defeat the Stag Lord quest.
Woo, woo.
And all these things together, you are now level 4.
Oh,
let's go.
So go ahead and level up or switch over to your level 4 characters.
That's an even level, which means free archetype.
That's right.
Free archetype feats.
Free archetype.
Yeah. So if you're all up for me, do you mind if I kind of guide the cart here a little bit to push things along?
Push along.
Push my cart.
Push it real good. Dun, dun, dun. And so you spend the next couple of weeks at Olog's trading post. Knock Knock and Kundayo, Keston Garrus. You're kind of settling in. Garrus and his troops are doing the occasional like patrol of the area, but things are much quieter. There's the occasional monster or beast, and occasionally I imagine a Knock Knock and a Kundayo, a couple of you go out and like can even help with some of the like roaming monsters in the area. Some travelers come and go. All sorts of odd words and things kind of come to and from you at the outpost. As people come and go, I'm going to say you do hear. You hear a couple rumors, you know?
I love a good rumor.
Same. Oh, they're 10 of 10 shit. Probably the most prevalent rumor you hear going through town is people talking about this brutish hill giant that's been wandering the southern Camel lands. Everyone's saying, give him a wide berth or a stiff drink and he'll leave you alone for the most part. A few different accounts. So maybe it's different than the giant than Ikandai has been hunting, but he's super interested, takes lots of notes, buys drinks, sort of grills the travelers coming through who talk about it. And it starts to become clear that, like, hey, not only are there kobolds and gremlins in these lands, but trolls, giants. You hear a tale of lizard folk living along some of the marshes and rivers.
Those damn lizard folk.
All sorts of stuff. Their waggly long arms.
Does that the mission for the plus one weapon, is it one total?
Plus one weapon? If you brought him back alive, it would have been three plus one weapons.
Plus one. Okay. Wow.
But you killed him, so you get one.
I have this cool pole arm. I don't need anything.
So, as time kind of passes, Keston sends word back with the travelers under his seal to Lady Jermondi. And it's from about 2 weeks later that a small delegation shows up. They come bearing with them a new charter, Lady Jermondi, representative of the Lord Mayor of Restov, and a familiar face to you, Jason, as one of the nobles sent along.
All right.
You want to describe him for everyone, what this familiar face looks like?
Yeah, give me a second.
And then I'm going to read you your new charter. And
hello.
I have a question to ask all of you for the time we have left in this episode. Also, we're like a couple hundred pages into this now, which is really fucking cool.
Yes.
So what you see is a guy, and he's not dressed dissimilarly from Nikolai. The colors and everything seems to be the same, but he's more like metal armor, a little bit tougher looking. And he's got black hair that he keeps slicked back, and you can tell that he's kind of takes himself pretty seriously, maybe too seriously. Nikolai looks at him, and he looks at the rest of the delegation, and he nods, and he says, "Hello, Kiris.
Cousin, how fare you?
As of late, the Rassel smiles upon me."
Sort of like, see the muscles kind of like feather in his jaw a little bit, just like, ugh. But like also nods.
"What about you? You look healthy."
"Work is good."
And he, along with a couple other men wearing the like livery of Lady Jermondi, hand over a packet. Inside are several letters, one addressed directly from Lady Jermondi to all of you. Perhaps the most well-preserved thing in a like oiled leather pouch is a piece of gilded and well done parchment on which is written, "Be it known, the bearers of this charter, having delivered the northern reaches of the Greenbelt from the scourge of banditry, having provided detailed maps of the lay of the land," which you also did, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and having done no small amount of work in the exploration of said land and the removal of hostile monsters and hazards, are hereby granted the right to rule. The nature and laws of rule are theirs to define, and the well-being of this new nation is theirs to protect, in accordance for providing a stable nation to the south of central Rossland. Let there be generous stipend of funds, support, and advice provided to this fledgling nation as taken of Restov and Brevoy's goodwill. Such the future relations between kingdoms might be mutually beneficial, so witnessed under the watchful eye of the Lordship of Restov." Attached to that is a note from Lady Jermondi, talking about an interest in hoping to like stay in touch and hear from you how she can be of support and what kind of support you'll want, what your sort of first vision for your city will be. And she just congratulates you for what you've done, thanks you for being one of the different like settlements started as a part of this great expansion of Breville, this great expansion and opportunity to forge new opportunities, new nations, and new allies for the kingdom, the land, and nation of Brevoy. And it just ends with a single question. How will you rule? So I'm going to ask all of you for a little bit of improv, a little bit of taking the reins of the storytelling here a little bit. We're going to handle off air. I think we're going to record it, put it on the Patreon, actually building the mechanics of your kingdom, which is a lot. It's crunchy as fuck. I'm super excited for it. But the first step in building your kingdom is to come up with a concept. And so while this will be built over the next few months, the note from Jermondi and some of the other nobles are basically, there's quite a few. And basically everyone is trying to find the right way to like offer you supplies and interest, settlers from their household, work folk. Of course, all with the sort of implied idea that like, well, then obviously like you're going to want to open trades with these houses or work with these guilds. You know, it's all how it would be beneficial to both of you. But I'd like for all of you to kind of tell me what you think. Maybe it's a series of conversations. Maybe it is specifically a focused one. But when and what would it look like for your characters to talk about forming their new nation? When do you think that would be? Can you kind of paint a scene for me? You can each, like I said, each kind of tell separate scenes. You can play off of each other and jump in. It's a big improv ask, but what do you think your characters would say or ask of each other and where?
I kind of feel like we would spend a lot of the days like sort of helping around the trading post and like doing stuff for them. And then like at night, we would all kind of like link up after dinner, you know, whatever, and like discuss all of the things.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Sitting around a picnic table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we get our own table. Everybody else is kind of off and we're like, yo, they said we could start a kingdom.
But then at some point, Ari is going to be like, are you staying or are you leaving? To Arthur.
Oh, I'm leaving.
Then he doesn't get a vote.
Why, is there anything we could do to get you to stay?
I don't think so.
Would it be violating your oath to stay? Because if I may, you have done more for your oath here than you ever did at the wall.
Well, yeah, but that's because I'm not a full knight yet. I'm going to be a full knight.
One day, sure.
Yes, it will take lots of training.
I guess.
And Ari would be like, your brother would have been here if he was alive.
He wasn't my brother. Not really.
Oh, so fucking good.
The truth hurts.
I think I will wait a few days.
Wait longer. Help us at least get a foothold, please.
Okay.
Thank you. I knew I'd get you with the police. What do you guys even imagine our kingdom to look like? Like, I'm a little shocked, taken aback, curious what you think.
Well, I think freedom of choice is a very important aspect. Shouldn't mandate that people do one job or another or have to stay.
Sure.
Believe it or not, I actually agree with Arthur.
Yeah.
I think we are all in agreement with that.
Yes.
Collective action, cooperation, is always better than forced labor.
Ari's having like flashbacks to being raised as like a bounty hunter child, and she's like, yeah, I agree. I think that seems like a better way.
How should we, what kind of commerce or economy, or how do we even fund a kingdom?
Farmers make good workers. You produce goods that can then be made into manufactured goods and then...
My family is good at farming, but also hunting and fishing, I think. Perhaps we could add these as part of our trade.
All Ari knows is that she wants to start a like training academy for people who live there.
Why?
I think that's what she's going to... Because it's like, I think a way that she feels she can kind of take her background but make it like her own thing and let people do, like develop those skills that she has to, you know, fight and defend themselves and if, you know, if they want to, but not like force them to.
Do you think Ari would be that open about it?
Yeah, she'd probably end up just like over the course of the, you know, like week or whatever that we're hanging out here, just like tell them about her upbringing and be like, I just want to make something better than that.
I think we need to think long term first. So what do we want it to be someday? And not what do we want it to be today?
Well, it should certainly be a place where people can have some fun and is worth living in.
A kingdom that is well defended but does not seek war.
It's got to have great bars.
Yeah, really great bars.
Knock, knock. Oh, just
knock, knock. You scared me.
Knock, knock. Go sit at that table.
How have you been?
Good. It was really fun hunting with you the other week. I want to go back. Eck and Dio and I are having a drink off.
He is a hunter as well.
Yeah. Real hero. real wet blanket.
Knock, knock. Do you want to be the president?
You didn't eat his dog, right?
I hate dogs.
Oh, okay.
If
yeah, Knock Knock's a goblin, right? He's not a dog fan.
Different different goblin groups, cultures, but yeah, overall, goblins, I mean, not a big fan of dog.
A dog chopper is a weapon. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A horse
culturally, not big dog fans.
Ari is hanging out with the dog as much as possible, and she did, in fact, name it Pog.
Okay.
Well, if I may, from my family's experience, not necessarily running a nation, but running an area, the best way to keep something going is to win the loyalty of the people. And you can win that through fear or love, but it's best to have both. And they can fear you through good defenses. But they will love you if you provide them with safety and food and fun.
And some great bars.
A good community is what we are trying to make.
Yes, yeah. Somewhere that people want to go to and relocate to.
And what's the point of having a place to live if it's not fun at all?
Well, it does make you a lot of money, too.
Fair.
A win-win.
I think we need to keep in mind where we are and that.
Yes, a swamp.
You know, I think we need to have regard for the area around us, too.
Oh, yes, of course. There are creatures here who should not be ousted by any means.
Lucky.
Yes.
Your opinion of noble households is different than mine and Arthur's.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would want to know what you would want to see.
I've seen a lot of abuse of power. And I think that
Nikolai and Arthur both like
it's fuck tyranny.
Yeah.
I think most importantly, that needs to be something that I understand hierarchy and I understand leadership, but I also understand when that is being abused. And I think it's important that we keep an eye on that.
And make sure that we give our people agency. Right. Control over their own lives.
But it's important that whomever leads us represents that as well.
Mm.
And I think we're going to fade away on that. And thanks for listening in. Tune in next time to find out about this new nation.
Yeah.
And how it grows.
We fucking did it.
Yeah, holy cow. Arthur Land.
The Live to Die podcast is a production of Live to Die Gaming. Follow us on social media at Live to Die Pod. Leave a review and tune in next week for more. If you like the amazing background audio and music, all that credit goes to Sirenscape. Make sure you check them out at sirenscape.com.